Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The original teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, if someone is a Christian, it means that they are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. They are following the laws and commandments of God as expounded by Jesus Christ. Now, let's understand another thing that is very simple to realize. A lot of people have a religion. A lot of people believe that sin is what you think sin is. However, that is not true. Sin is a transgression of the law. Also, another thing that is important is that sin is the breaking of the commandments of God. Human beings, by nature, have within them what is called in Romans the 7th chapter, the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death means this is how we operate. What we do automatically is sin. Now, there's a combination of good, because not everything that human beings do is necessarily sin. But what is true sin and what is true goodness? That's what Jesus came to reveal. Now, Jesus said, you've heard it said in past time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already. So we find from this that all sin begins in the mind. And Satan the devil is the author of sin, who is the prince of the power of the air, who is the god of this world, the god of this age, and he is the one who projects sin in the society. And this is why, combined with human nature, that people don't understand the truth. And they don't want to do the truth, because as Jesus said, if you practice the truth, then you shall be free indeed. Now, what will you be free from? Well, here in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, let's see Jesus' true teaching. Because the Jews who were there when confronting Jesus, and he says, if you believe the truth will set you free. And he said, well, we're Abraham's children, and we have not been in bondage to anyone. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin. Now, take that one verse. Then take the Ten Commandments. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you know them by heart, the long form? And then ask yourself the question, how many of these Ten Commandments do I break in my mind? Well, you see, the truth is, we all have idols in our minds. We all have goals and purposes in our mind. And that's quite contrary to the ways and to the laws of God. Now, there was an occasion back here in Ezekiel chapter 14, which ties in together with John the 8th chapter. And it shows how people try and rely on what they are and who they are, rather than by what they do and what they believe. Because what you do and what you believe is more important than who you are and what you are. Doesn't matter if you're a descendant of Abraham. It doesn't matter if you're a very important person. It is what you believe and what you practice as it comes forth from your mind. Now, the Jews were in captivity, and Ezekiel was sent to be with them in captivity. And of course, all the elders, all the leaders of the Jews were there. And so one day they wanted to know about God. Why were they in captivity? Why did God kick them out of the land? Why did God allow the armies to invade them and take them away? You see, and this fits right in with what we're talking about in the Gospel of John from this point of view. Were the Jews carried away in captivity? Was their temple destroyed in 70 AD? Yes. Why? Because they didn't learn the lessons of the first captivity. Now here at this place was what you might say a concentration camp of the Jews on the river Kibar. And they were living there. Very austere conditions indeed. Verse 1, Ezekiel 14, "And some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me," that is, Ezekiel, "and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is." If you're living in sin, you have idols. If you're practicing sin, then that sin is an idol because it originates in your mind. They have set up idols in their hearts. Now, how does this put you before God? Can you come to God with that kind of thing? Now, let's talk about how people consider themselves to be religious, and yet in their church, in their temple, they have idols. God is not there where idols are. Grandiose crucifixes of Christ and the Virgin Mary. This is what people worship to. Oh, well, we don't worship them, we just venerate them. What is veneration other than worship? So God was showing, you're not going to come before God and keep your idols. See, anyone who approaches God, there must be repentance. There must be obedience. There must be a change of behavior. And then God will listen to you. But not in this case. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I at all be inquired of them? Is God going to hear and listen to you if you're in that condition? Now, you may get an answer from the God of this world because he's the one who has caused these idols to be. The literal idols and the idols in your mind. Now, there's a television program we have today. It's called what? American Idol. And what is it that they're all enthralled with? Entertainment and singing and music. What does that have to do with God? Nothing. Now, they may have people with talent, but who gave them the talent? God did. So now the ones who succeed, they become worshipped by the ones who like their music. Have you ever heard of Hollywood idols, rock stars? Now here, idols in their mind. God isn't going to listen to people that way. So what we all need to do is ask the question, what's on my mind? What's in my heart? What are my thoughts? Am I a captive of my way and sin? And do I believe that I'm right? What does God say about my conduct? What does God say about what I believe? Let's read on. Verse 4, "Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols." Now back here in John the 8th chapter, these people were not committing idolatry, bowing down before idols, but they had their own religion. They had their own traditions. The idol in their minds was that we We are the descendants of Abraham. So let's come back here to John 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin." Now, what kind of servant are you? And it begins in the mind. This is important to realize because you can't come to the real Jesus unless you repent of your sins, unless you change what you are doing. And it has to be a deep and profound experience that you go through. God will reveal to you the utter depravity of the human heart to anyone who truly repents. Have you ever seen things that are so bad and disaster and famine and starvation on television, on the news? And look at what people are doing. And you really think to yourself, and it gets down deep in your heart and your mind, and you say, "Oh, how pitiful, how terrible, what awful things did human beings bring upon themselves?" Brings death and destruction, doesn't it? Why? Because they practice sin, hatred and killing, jealousy and adultery and murder, and all of these things are in their mind. You know, and they're taught it in some countries, and even here in America, in some ghettos, they're teaching children how to use machetes for coming race wars, to kill, to bludgeon, to lop off heads. Are their minds focused on sin and doing that? Are they living sin? Are they dedicated to this? Are they servants of sin? Yes, indeed. Well, what about us? Who are we serving? Let's read on. Verse 35, "The servant does not live in the house forever, but the Son lives forever. Therefore, if the Son shall set you free, you shall truly be free." How does Jesus set you free from sin? One, through repentance. That's why Peter preached in Acts, the second chapter, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And it's only through the sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission of the sins that are past. And this puts us in a condition of being justified or made in right standing with God. And that's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how we are free from the domination of sin in our lives. Now, we still have sin to overcome, but sin does not rule in our lives. The Holy Spirit will. The laws of God will. The commandments of God that are written in our hearts and in our minds are then going to convict us, so that when we begin to think and do the things we shouldn't be doing, we repent. That's all part of conversion. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Well, the Jews didn't understand that because they didn't have the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been crucified and resurrected. So when he said, "The Son will truly set you free," it was a mystery to them. They said, "Well, we're the children of Abraham." And Jesus said, "If you were the children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham." But they were seeking to kill Jesus. So notice what Jesus said, verse 37. "I know you're Abraham seek, but you're seeking to kill me, because my words do not enter into your minds." Now stop and think about that. Are you willing to let the words of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and the whole Bible as a matter of fact, enter into your mind? Or are you so wrapped up in a religion like these Jews were, that nothing can penetrate that mind. See, this is the individual encounter that we have to have spiritually with God. Just like they had this encounter with Jesus Christ. Verse 38, I speak the things that I've seen from my Father, and you do the things that you have seen from your Father. Now, they didn't really understand this. Jesus made it clear a little later. What Father was he talking about? Let's read on. They answered and said to him, Our father is Abraham. And Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father. Wow, that is pretty heavy confrontation, isn't it? Now notice what they answered back. They didn't say, Oh, yes, you're right. Oh, yes, we are sinning. They didn't even understand that sin was a transgression of the law, and they were the ones who were the recipients of the law. Oh, they had their religion. They were right there at the temple. And they could have known about Jesus, but didn't. And yet they said that they believed in him, but not belief unto conviction and conversion. There's a difference. There are a lot of people who believe in Jesus, heard the name of Jesus, believe that salvation comes through Jesus, but they want to do it their own way, just like the Jews here. They wanted to do it their way rather than God's way. And whenever you do it your way, you're serving your father. Now, who was their father? A lot of people think, well, oh, if you're a Jew, boy, you're close to God. Not unless you believe in Jesus, not unless you're converted. You're not anywhere near God. Doesn't matter who you are. You know, and I've had people come up to me who are Jews and say, I'm a Jew. And I think to myself, now, why do you say that? I don't know what's in their hearts. But those are some of the things they have to repent of. It doesn't matter who you are. It is what is your relationship to God. It is whether you are willing to acknowledge and repent of your sins. Otherwise, here's what Jesus said. He said, I've spoken the truth to you, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father, they said to him. We have not been born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. Notice how Jesus answered. Therefore, Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from him. For I did not come of myself, but he sent me. What a confrontation this is. This is really getting heated. And we're going to see what else Jesus said to them, because this whole chapter is so important for us to realize. So Jesus asked this question and then answered it. Verse 43, Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. Why? Because the words of Christ are like a sharp two-edged sword that pierces, even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And don't you think that Jesus knew their thoughts and the intent of their hearts, that they really wanted to kill him? Yes, he did. Notice verse 44, how Jesus identifies it. And this is important to understand, because there are a lot of people who believe that they are Christian, but they are not. They are convinced that they are doing what's right, just like these Jews were, but they weren't. They dogmatically believe that they understand the truth and that they are Christian, but they are not. See, because if you're truly a Christian, you will keep what God says to keep. You will obey His commandments. You won't stand up and say they're done away. See, because the Jews did that with their traditions. Where does all of this come from? Where does all the confusion in religion come from? The same source. Let's read it. Verse 44. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice." All the religious practices of the religions of men are sin. Though they look religious, though they look righteous, though they may be sanctimonious, they are practices of Satan the devil, inspired by him, and that's whom they serve. Let's read on. "He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he is speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and a father of it." Question. How many lies have you believed, thinking that they were right? And down through history, how many times has that happened to people over and over and over again? And now here, living in the age that we're living in, close to the end of the age and the return of Christ, and we have the whole Bible, and we have the truth of God, and we have all of these things available to us, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to examine what you believe, prove it by the Bible? Or are you going to react in an emotional and sinful way by saying, "Who does Fred Coulter think he is?" Well, the truth is, I'm nothing, no more than any other man. But if I speak the truth to you, which is the truth of God, and that is from God, that doesn't make me anything. I'm only conveying a message that Jesus Christ brought and was recorded for us as his personal message to all of us, so that we can change and grow and overcome and repent. Everyone in the world has served Satan the devil. He's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the one who has weaved the deception over the whole earth. So Jesus said in verse 45, "And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." Now there are many people who won't believe me because I speak the truth. But it's not me that you're against. If you're against the word of God, you're against God and Christ. Which one of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe him? You believe his message? You believe his truth? Really? Are you willing then in that belief to make changes in your life? Are you willing in that belief to honestly look at what you actually believe and compare that with the scriptures? Now notice verse 47. This is important. "The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear, because you're not of God." Need to understand. Are you willing to listen to the words of God? And if you're not, Jesus said, you're not of God. See, because there is the dividing line between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. And those who are deceived and comfortable and satisfied and entrenched in what they do and believe need to be challenged to prove whether it's true or not. So the real Jesus is far different than people have thought. The real Jesus brings the truth, speaks the truth, has recorded the truth and has sent it to the whole world so that they may know the truth. And yet, his words do not have any entrance into the minds of the masses of people because they cannot stand the truth. They love their deceptions, just like the Jews here right at the temple of God who professed that they believe in Jesus. Well, we'll have more to talk about who is the real Jesus in the Gospel of John. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying until next time, so long, everyone.